All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It was just before we went to break talking about that group of Republicans in Texas who somehow think that Texas should be the country, and the country should be in Texas, not that Texas is in the United States, but that it somehow is bigger than the rest of the country. And yeah, you know, guys got big 10-gallon hats, and, you know, there's a lot of oil down in Texas, and yeah, the cattle, natural oil, all those things are down there. But there are also a lot of lunatics, a lot of jerks who somehow think that the state of Texas is bigger than our nation. Let's go to the phone line, Sam. Who do we have on?
Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, Earl.
Anytime.
You're also talking this morning earlier, and that's what I was trying to get in on, was that the wealthy think that they should just hoard their wealth and not take care of their employees or their customers.
Yes.
And just hold out of their money. And that's contrary, the Bible speaks well of this. The book of Micah specifically is what comes to mind. That when we take care of the poorest of the poor, everyone will be raised up. They will then raise up everyone. So when we take care of the people living on the street, or the people living under a tree,
listen, you're having problems. We're having problems with your phone. Why don't you call back? Hang up and call back. We'll continue to come.
Done.
Hang up and call back, and we'll have a conversation. You know, again, I'm at the point where we've had enough of all of this, and yet the people who somehow still believe that they are different, they are better because they're Texans than somebody else. And that psychosis that they are experiencing somehow leads them to believe that, everybody else is under their feet. Let me, who was our last caller, Sam?
Bob or L.A. Tom?
Bob. So, Bob, here's a story that, especially based on what it is you were talking about, some Christian leaders have become whores for Trump at the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, a Southern Baptist minister recently accused his fellow pastors of becoming whores for Donald Trump, which elicited howls of protest from some of them. Kevin Smith, pastor at Family Church in West Palm Beach and former executive director of the Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware, spoke the first day at the SBC General Convention, where he accused some ministers of losing their minds after Barack Obama was elected president in 2012, and then shamed themselves by supporting Trump. I think some Southern Baptists lost their minds when a black man was elected president. Not all, but some, Smith said. I think some Southern Baptists were unloving to black people beginning in 2012. With the killing of Trayvon Martin. I don't mean agree about politics or policy. I just mean giving a darn that somebody else is hurting who is supposed to be your brother or sister in Christ. And I think some Southern Baptists have bent over and became political whores with this whole Trump stuff, Smith said. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We're going to get into that. Who do we have on the line,
Sam? I have Bob back for us.
Hey, Bob. So you just heard, go back and repeat what you were saying before.
The wealthiest among us are blind, myopic. They don't see that their customers spend money and make them profits. They don't see that their employees must be in good shape in order to serve them and their customers well, and that's where their money comes from. So when they take care of the poorest of the poor, they will raise up themselves and they'll raise up all of society.
Go ahead,
Earl.
You are speaking from what has been the tenets of Christianity.
It's straight out of the book of Micah.
I'm saying that these are the tenets of Christianity, but as I just stated, something is happening to many who call themselves Christians, especially the heads of the flocks. And they have chosen, knowingly chosen, to align themselves with people and things that don't represent any of those things that you are talking about.
And those are denominations, Earl, that I would not choose to be affiliated with.
No, but they are Christians. Those denominations all are under the title Christians. So, you know, you may want to separate yourself from them, but it's hard to do it when those denominations are all under the title Christian.
My choice would be to get them involved in things like street ministries and dealing with the health of the poor
let me ask you, as you watch and see this metamorphosis of people who and pastors and others who have decided to side with you know, Donald Trump and wrong over right, and yes, all of us have to wrestle on a daily basis with demons inside of ourselves. But when you see the heads of flocks who act as if they've given up that battle and that fight, what does that make you? How do you feel when you see those kinds of things?
Well, I'm disappointed, and I'm prayerfully hoping that they have an epiphany and begin to see the light.
Well, they're the head of the flocks.
Exactly. Well, they need to see the light. They're living in darkness, and they need to see the light. Earl, I've got an appointment I've got to make.
Thank you.
So I really, all right, really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I really, really appreciate it. I mean, really, when you look at what has taken place, in you know, many churches who have basically abdicated what, you know, the tenets of their religion are supposed to be, and so let out for 30 pieces of silver, you know, and a belief that a demon like Donald Trump, who has no spiritual foundation, never did, and they have sided with somebody like Donald Trump, it makes you wonder, where else is this going? When I talk about where this nation is headed, you know, one of the things when I was a young man that even in the face of things that weren't right and weren't just, was the fact that you could at least say, well, you know, many in the religious community were fighting to be on the side of what's right. You can't say that anymore. Many of those people have decided to go with, you know, especially evangelicals, with what they know is not right and not just. And yet they still somehow believe that they are walking the righteous walk. No, they're not. And it does not matter if they think that they can fool somebody. They're only fooling themselves. We've got to go to a break. Our phone line's open, as always, at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We'll be back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, right now I want to talk about, you know, this constant drumbeat that we hear about guns and mental illnesses. I for one, and as I've always said, openly, have a son that is mentally ill, both bipolar and schizophrenic, and when I always hear people say, especially those on the right, it's not the gun. One of our biggest problems is mentally ill people with guns. And so when the focus is on mentally ill people with guns, it misses the whole point of what we really should be talking about. You know, people who have these guns and do some of the killings that occur, very seldom are the killings that occur in the society from people who are mentally ill. It is from people who are angry, who have access to guns. And there are times in all of our lives when we can, at any given moment, lose control of who we are, and anger can set in, and cause us to be, for a moment, somebody other than who we are. But to have a focus on, well, all the shootings are taking place because, you know, mentally ill people are having guns. That's a lie. And so as long as we allow that narrative to continue, and now the Congress and the Senate are working on solutions, and the so-called solutions include doing something about mentally ill people who get guns. That's not the issue. The issue is we have mentally ill people in the society that we won't do anything to help because we say we can't afford it. That's what the problem is. But I don't hear anybody talking about that. Nobody. Not the Democrats or the Republicans. And so this sham of a gun bill that they're going to pass through is for nothing else other than, you know, window dressing. We all know that there are mentally ill people living on the streets of this nation. You see them every day. If you just open your eyes, I don't care where you are, where you live, you see lost souls before you. And we walk right past those lost souls. We know the lost souls are in our families, like mine. We know the lost souls are in positions of leadership and positions of power. They're everywhere. They're all over. But as a society, we don't do anything to address that. So now to attach that boulder around the neck of mentally ill people who already have a tough enough life as it is, to somehow blame them for the murders that are going on in the society, is shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And they're going to get away with this because there aren't enough people with voices who are willing to step up and tell the truth, the wretched truth about our nation and how it treats citizens who are mentally ill. Let me tell you something. It's easy when you live in a nation like this to lose control of yourself and your life because there's so many pressures in a nation like this to succeed. And it's not easy to succeed in this nation. And for anybody to continue to tell that lie ought to be ashamed of themselves. And I'm challenging you on that now. This debate, this argument about what we're going to do with all the killing and the killings that are taking place, and to somehow say, oh, the problem is those mentally ill people are getting their hands on guns. And so what we've got to do is we got to fix the mentally ill people and make sure that they don't get guns. How about addressing the fact? People don't say, I want to become mentally ill. That's not how it works. You know, I think I'm trying to remember who the gentleman was. I think it might have been Dave or Bill, who was talking about, you know, back in the 50s, and was talking about socialism, and he was talking about a time when this nation cared about everybody, or attempted to, anyway. Well, you know, there was a time when this nation cared about the mentally ill and the plight of the mentally ill, and we had places that were available to house people with mental illness. Not anymore, thanks to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan the Great, who shut down most of those facilities that housed people who had these demons that they had to deal with in their lives. As a so-called Christian society, they at least, those before us, at least had that. They had the morality to find a way and a place to protect those who couldn't protect themselves. Not us, not today. We couldn't conceive of such a thing. Americans, you know, Americans of the 21st century, you know, the well-educated, the moral, the spiritual. Not today. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. Sam, did I hear them right? The low will be 55.
I might crack a window tonight. I can't wait.
55. We're clamoring for 55
I know.
Degrees.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing how much we forget. But I was talking about before I went to break. The fact that part of this new law that they're going to pass, where Democrats and Republicans both seem to vilify those with mental illnesses and hide behind these heinous crimes that have been caused with guns and blame them on people with mental illnesses. Well, here's some numbers that will bear out that what I'm saying is true. Although there may be a correlation, there's no proven causality between mental illness and gun violence, much less schools of mass shootings. According to the National Institute of Health, a large majority of people with serious mental illnesses are never violent. Further, researchers at Columbia University found that only 8% of serious mental illness is understandable, but ultimately harmful. It does little but stigmatize and harm individuals with these diagnoses. You know, I know my son, and I know that my son wouldn't hurt a fly. And I know others with mental illness who wouldn't hurt a fly. How dare the cowards in elected office and others who know better, who want to hide the dirty practice of blaming people with mental illness for those who are walking around with automatic weapons and slaughtering people, innocent people. Don't allow yourself to fall prey to that, which is another lie. If this is what the solution is, again, to these mass murders that are happening all over this nation by people who are armed with these weapons that are of war, and now we're able to pass that off on the mentally ill and get away with it, and nobody says anything, and then we get all of the accolades for those who pass this law. You see, we took care of it until the next time, and the time after that, and the time after that. is because the answer to this is not people with mental illness. It's the gun lobbies. It's the gun manufacturers. It's the NRA. It's all of those people who don't want to take any blame for what continues to happen in this society. Listen, we forget so easily. How long ago was it that all of those babies were slaughtered? 3 weeks? How soon we forget. 3 weeks. A heinous crime like that. And we've forgotten. And we all claim to care. We all claim to be concerned about these children. These babies who have lost their lives so horribly. But we've forgotten. Because we're going to be celebrating as the Congress is going to be celebrating. Hey, see, we did it. We came together and we passed this gun law or this group of gun laws. But at the head of all of them is we're going to stop people from with mental illnesses from purchasing guns. Well, number one, why the hell should it have been possible for people with mental illnesses to buy guns in the first place? Well, you know, they still have a constitutional right. Well, but they're mentally ill. Well, they have a Second Amendment right to own a gun. Never mind if they have mental illnesses. The argument has been, never mind if they have mental illnesses. That shouldn't prohibit them from their Second Amendment rights. Just absolutely stupendously ignorant by those who try to defend this, you know, these continued slaughters that take place in this country too regularly. And I'll tell you something. It's been a couple days. Before the week is out, there'll be another. Before the month is out, there'll be another. Because if you think the answer again is trying to stop people with mental illness from buying guns, you have no idea. But I think these people do. They know. There's no way they can't know that this bill and the bills that they're going to pass is going to make any difference. It's not. But my issue is, again, and my argument again, and my defense again, is for people with mental illnesses who have been scapegoated as the reason why, you know, these mass assassinations go on. They're not. They never have been. They never will be. So let's not celebrate and call it a victory when they pass this bill and then people with mental illness have to suffer the indignity once again for people pointing fingers at them because of nothing that they've done. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. What do you say? You know, I was, as I was watching the hearings on yesterday, and they brought up Ron Johnson. And I began to cheer that finally, you know, what's the old adage? Things in the dark will soon come to the light. Do you know that's an axiom? And it's been an axiom that I used to always hear from your mom and dad and and the teachers and the pastors and the reverend, things done in the dark will soon come to the light. And man, I would, why are they saying that? But when I became an adult, and they said, when and remembered about those who loved me and wanted to make sure that I understood things done in the dark will soon come to the light. I think Ron Johnson found that out on yesterday. As Ron Johnson is being exposed for what all of us knew, what he was, what he's been, and what he'll always be. You know, Ron Johnson has a chip on his shoulder. He walks around like he's a tough guy. You know, he's weak, he's feeble. But he really got exposed on yesterday. And as the reporter was hounding him as he was leaving the Capitol, he was acting like he was on his cell phone. They were asking him questions. And the one reporter said, "You're not on your phone. I see your screen is black." He was, and the cameraman showed it, and the cameraman showed it. And this powerful, one of the most powerful men in the world, was acting as if he was on another call because he had been exposed. Not the fact that he was exposed, that he had a phone to his ear and nobody was on it, but the fact that he's been exposed for being the kind of sniveling coward that he always was. His time, I hope and pray, is just about up. If Ron Johnson somehow, through some stroke of bad luck for Democrats, his time should be up. Should have been up a long time ago. But when this came out, that should have been a kiss of death for Ron Johnson, his campaign, and all of those who support him. He is a piece of work, and there's no way that he should be given another 4 years, 6 years, another 6 years. We know who he is. You know, when you've been exposed like that, you know, I don't know. I've never been exposed like that. You may say, "Well, what are you talking about? You're a nobody." Yeah, I know that. Okay. But even nobodies should do everything they can to speak the truth, shouldn't we? And you know what? Every time you speak the truth and people ask you questions, you don't ever have to worry about forgetting what happened, what took place. Because it's easy to remember the truth. Now, a lie, on the other hand, trying to defend that, you wind up like Ron Johnson with a cell phone that's not on, one of the most powerful men in the world, running from a reporter who asked him the truth. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sam, you had a text you wanted to read.
Yes, we have a text from Old Dog in Chicagoland, and he says he wanted to he's been trying to learn where the German prisoners of war were allowed to go, held in Wisconsin after World War II.
First off, I don't understand the question. Yes, there were many prisoners of war, German prisoners of war, that were allowed to, and really, you say German prisoners of war, does he mean the ones who committed the war crimes? That's got to be what he must be talking about. And it's no secret that the state of Wisconsin housed many of the Gestapo troops in northern Wisconsin. It was one of the places that they were accepted. And so that's as far as, you know, as it goes. I don't really understand what he's, the gist of his question, but yes, it was absolutely true that overwhelmingly many of the SS stormtroopers and high-ranking military people from Germany were allowed to live out their last years in northern Wisconsin. Thank you very much for that text message. Sam, who do we have up next?
We have Jack from Milwaukee on the line.
Hey, Jack, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Since you were on the subject of Senator Ron Jagoff, you know, this guy's sneaky. He's phony. He was in the paper a couple of days ago. He's charging the taxpayers. He's got this vacation home in Florida, $2 million home. He's charging them, the taxpayers, travel expenses.
Yeah, it's travel expenses.
From Washington to his fancy home. He has got to be one of the worst senators in the history of Wisconsin. Then you remember that little episode? He likes to take credit for something he didn't do. Remember when they, last year it was, when they made Juneteenth Day a holiday?
Yes.
And then all the dignitaries, you know, Tammy Baldwin was there, Tony Evers, and then he made a speech like he is the one that was responsible. Then he was one of the 14 senators that didn't vote for the Juneteenth Day.
Well,
and then all the people were booing.
you know, Jack, it's not coincidental that Ron Johnson was a supporter and a believer in Donald Trump. They're both criminals.
Yeah, they're two of a kind, I guess.
Yeah, they are. They're both criminals. And
yeah, right. And they don't care about the people here. You know, you're supposed to, when you take office, you're supposed to take care of the people. He took care of himself always.
Well, but there's still a segment of the state that loves both Donald Trump and Ron Johnson. And that's problematic to me. When everybody sees,
I agree with you.
When you see with your own eyes, Jack, you've seen it. You're watching, you know, what is happening.
I don't really consider myself a smart man. I can't figure out how you cannot see something like that.
Well, you are a smart man, and you don't have to be smart to know that there's a right.
Well, I listen to you to get educated.
Well, no. Well, listen, then you're not going to be very well educated.
I try to use my own brain.
Hey, Jack, that's what you're supposed to do. But when
Lord gave us all a brain, you're supposed to use it. If someone else uses it for you, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, and that's what's happening on the far right spectrum. Somebody else is using their brains for them.
And anyway, it was so funny. Everyone's booing him, and then he says, after they booed him, says, "Well, that's what you get for being nice." Well, I don't think that's being very nice when you didn't vote for the bill, you know, for the holiday, you know. But anyhow, I that's the reason I called in, you know, because I can't stand that man. He's too phony, too sneaky. I just don't like him.
Hey, Jack. Things done in the dark will soon come to the light, right? You remember that, right?
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, that,
so
That's a good phrase. I just wish, you know, that they put, because I am afraid of 2024, because a lot of these guys that are implicated are running for office.
Well, see, and that's the other part of
this. And that's why I'm hoping that, you know, if you don't bring down one of these kingpins, either Trump or Johnson, and put them in, you know, where they got to serve some time in jail or whatever, they're just going to get, they know they're going to get away with it.
Hey, Jack, man, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you betcha.
Thank you for listening. He used the term kingpin. And that term is usually reserved for one of the big-time drug dealers. And Donald Trump and Ron Johnson and folk on the right may not be drug dealers, but they are certainly liars. And they're peddling lies. And so if people don't have the wherewithal, as clearly many of them don't, then they'll continue to peddle what they're peddling. But thank goodness for this September 6th committee, because the more that they expose, via the truth. And you know what? It would be one thing. And they keep saying, as Donald Trump says, it's a witch hunt. It's a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not Democratic, but, you know, that'll do for now because I can't remember the other word. It's a Democratic witch hunt. That's not what it is. Again, they're Republicans on the committee, and all of the people who are talking about it are Republicans. How are you going to call that a Democratic witch hunt? All the people they're interviewing are Republicans. It is, and I wonder, as Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago continues to watch this, and then continues to lose control over his once formidable organization. He's losing a grip. We might have to worry about Donald Trump with an automatic weapon doing some crazy things, because he is really in an area where there's no win for him. He's not the president anymore. He can't be hidden. There's nobody to protect him anymore. He doesn't have the privileges of being the president of the United States. He's the emperor with no clothes. And he's being exposed every minute of every hour, every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Donald Trump is being exposed, and he doesn't like it because he's a bully. And there's nobody to bully. Nobody's afraid of him anymore. Nobody. Not even his own children. We got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you for listening. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Thank you.